Interesting show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking with Dr. Kate Rayam Blue. She is going to be talking about brain health and some of the things that we can do to improve our brains. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about pain and some of the natural solutions to pain with Rosemary Pierce, who is a holistic pharmacist. But before we do that, here's Ellen with the health news.
New mental challenges might help your mind stay sharp as you age, according to a small study. The research from the University of Texas at Dallas included 39 older adults who were randomly assigned to high or low mental challenge groups or to a control group. Those participants in the high challenge group spent at least 15 hours a week for 14 weeks learning increasingly more demanding skills in digital photography, quilting, or both. Those in the low challenge group spent 15 hours a week socializing and doing activities related to such topics as travel and cooking, but with no active learning. Those in the control group did things such as listening to music, playing simple games, or watching classic movies. After 14 weeks, those in the high challenge group showed better memory performance and could judge hard words more accurately than those in the other two groups. And some of these improvements remained a year later, according to the study published recently in the journal Restorative Neurology and Neuroscience. A new study dispels the widely held belief that Native Americans have high rates of alcohol abuse. Native Americans are more likely to avoid alcohol than whites, and both groups have similar rates of heavy and binge drinking, University of Arizona researchers found. The study authors analyzed responses from more than 4,000 Native Americans and 170,000 white Americans who took part in a federal government survey between 2009 and 2013. 60% of Native Americans said they drank no alcohol in the past month, compared with 43% of whites. In both groups, 17% were binge drinkers and 8% were heavy drinkers. Binge drinking was defined as having five or more drinks at one sitting on 1 to 4 days in the past month. Heavy drinking was having five or more drinks on five or more days in the past month, the study noted. The study was published online recently in the journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence. Car crashes, shootings, and drug overdoses, which cause more than 100,000 deaths a year in the United States, may explain why Americans' life expectancy is lower than in similar countries, a new study suggests. Americans' life expectancy is about 2 years shorter than residents of Austria, Denmark, Finland, Germany, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. For U.S. men, that difference translates into 76.4 years versus 78.6 years, while it means 81.2 years versus 83.4 years for women, the researchers reported. Lead researcher Andrew Fendelin, a senior service fellow at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics, said about 50% of the gap for men and about 20% of the gap for women is due to just those three causes of injury. The report was published February 9th in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Older adults who give up driving may see their mental and physical well-being decline, a new research review finds. The review of 16 published studies found that seniors tended to show poorer health after they stopped driving, particularly in terms of depression. Researchers said it's not clear that the health problems are a direct result of giving up the car keys. But they said it's likely there is a vicious cycle. Worsening health, including vision problems, physical limitations, and waning memory and judgment, causes older people to stop driving. That, in turn, can speed their decline. Senior researcher Dr. Guo Li, founding director of the Center for Injury Epidemiology and Prevention at Columbia University Medical Center in New York City, said this is a very complex issue. The review, published online recently in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, looked at 16 studies that compared older drivers who'd stopped driving with those still on the road.
Thanks for that, Ellen. Thanks for that, Ellen. Well, our first guest, Dr. Kate Rayam Blue, is a frequent contributor to the Health First Show. She's a doctor of naturopathic medicine. She's an author, and she's a former faculty member at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. Dr. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a couple in the health news today. There was a couple, talks about or news stories about how people as they age have the potential to lose, some of their mental faculties. And it was talking about, challenging the mind, I guess, in some ways. And in the other case, it was about driving cars and how, you know, when people lose their license that, you know, they get depressed. What is the research showing about how we, you know, use our brains and how they change as we age?
Well, there's a lot. It's a fascinating area, and the brain is less of a black box than it used to be. I mean, we still don't know, you know, probably one-tenth of what's going on in there, but we do know a lot more, and we have a greater understanding of the kinds of things that happen to the brain, the changes that happen to the brain cells and the brain tissue as we age, which leads to a change in the brain function, be that loss of memory, for example, or other aspects of cognitive decline with age that can really impact our well-being and our quality of life. And so we understand that there are, for example, physical reasons that brain tissue can change, as well as nutritional reasons that brain tissue can change and the contributions there. So we're actually several steps closer, I would say, to being able to be proactive about our brain health as we age.
And have you noticed a difference, you know, in your practice and in, you know, as you've, since you've become a naturopathic doctor, in the way we think about our brains and the concern for mental health?
Definitely. Lately in the past year or two, I have been giving talks about dementia prevention, boosting your brain power, and I think that cognition and preserving our brain function as we age is becoming a greater concern for people, due in part to an aging population and people wanting to be proactive. There has been so much talk about, for example, heart health and maintaining healthy weight, and we never really thought about brain health or being proactive in that area before in the way that we are now. And people are really looking for that information, and they're going out to seek it. And the good news is there are absolutely steps we can take to help make our brains work better, both now and for the future.
What are some of those steps that we can do to improve our brain function?
There is a few simple ones. For example, being physically active. A fitter brain equals a fitter body at any age. Studies have shown that getting out and walking actually helps you grow new brain cells. As incredible as that sounds, it's such a simple thing, but it does help us do that. Of course, people have also heard about keeping their brain active. We hear about that, playing brain training games, or just socializing. Maintaining social networks has been shown to be very good for the brain, as well as being aware of the nutrients that are required by the brain, also understanding, what those nutrients are, the foods they come in, so you can think about your diet a little bit differently, so you can actually eat to feed your brain.
Okay. So what are some of the things that we can eat that will feed our brain?
Well, there's lots of different nutrients we can talk about. Essential fatty acids are probably a basic one, the omega-3s. DHA in particular, this is a particular type of omega-3 essential fatty acid that has been shown to be found in high concentrations, or it should be, in the brain. And low levels of that type of healthy fat is associated with higher risk of dementia like Alzheimer's as well as Parkinson's. There have been studies shown that even for people with early signs of Alzheimer's disease, for example, supplementing with extra essential fatty acids, these omega-3s, will help with early changes we see in dementia, like mood, memory, cooperation, ability to navigate around the home. So healthy fats, because fat is where it's at when it comes to your brain, as well as certain types of fat-soluble nutrients some people may be familiar with and others that aren't as well known, like choline, for example, which is a nutrient that we use to make acetylcholine, which is a major neurotransmitter in the brain.
Now, I thought choline was one of the B vitamins.
Actually, you're right, Dave. Technically, it is in the B vitamin family. It's a vitamin-like substance. That's what it's called. And it is, there's some debate about it, but technically it is in the B family.
And what does it do specifically for our brain?
Well, choline is, as I was saying, a building block for this neurotransmitter, acetylcholine. So the brain cells communicate with one another in a number of ways, but one is by this chemical messenger, acetylcholine. And we need to make that from building blocks in the body, and choline is one of them. So choline does a number of things for our health, liver health, cardiovascular, but when it comes to the brain, this is a building block for the production of this neurotransmitter. And there's been some interesting research to show that people, for example, who have suffered brain injury, if they're able to increase their choline intake, that helps with brain injury recovery.
How much of a difference did it make?
Well, there's different studies looking at different aspects of brain injury recovery, both in on the actual tissue as well as in terms of the brain function. So it depends on the case, whether it's traumatic, concussion, and these types of things. But studies have shown that it seems to help with restoring some aspects of brain function after injury.
And what kind of dosage did people need to take when, do you, I don't know if you know that study offhand, but what do you remember what they were taking for brain injury?
Well, I have to admit that I don't have the studies right in front of me in terms of the actual dosages of choline.
Yeah.
But I think that, of course, when you're looking at a situation of brain injury, this is a non-toxic substance. You could be looking at 400 milligrams, 500 milligrams.
Okay.
Definitely. But, you know, the majority of people listening probably would want to know more about, say, maintenance doses in terms of where they can get it in their diet. And having adequate choline levels, you want to be prepared just in case of any, head injury, for example, but also just for day-to-day brain health.
Well, you know, my next question was, because you mentioned Alzheimer's and you mentioned, how choline can help with people, or DHA as well. And I'm wondering, do they work together? And can people notice a difference for people that have early onset Alzheimer's or any other, memory issues?
Oh, absolutely. And this is really interesting. So we know that DHA, this type of healthy fat, is good for the brain. And we know that choline plays a role in brain health. But these also are often found together in nature in certain types of special foods where you have what's called phosphatidyl choline that is bound to DHA, and studies have shown that absolutely does help penetrate brain cells more efficiently. And so you see a greater accumulation of the DHA into the brain cells when it comes with this choline carrier, you could call it. And that, of course, if you're getting the DHA into the brain tissue more efficiently, that's a good thing. For people who are able to achieve this, some of them have interesting side effects in terms of, for example, increased dreaming when they experience this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a sign that the fat is getting to the brain.
Okay. So do people, like, do caregivers notice? Let's say, somebody's husband or wife has, some memory issues. If they're giving them choline or DHA, is it noticeable? How long does it take for them to notice a difference?
Yes. So for some individuals, studies have absolutely shown that on early signs of Alzheimer's disease, that supplementing with essential fatty acids, particularly the DHA, will show improvements, noticeable improvements, in various aspects of cognitive function that really are meaningful in terms of quality of life. So people have reported, and in studies have shown, improvements in mood, memory, cooperation, ability to navigate around the home. These are sort of simple things that can make a difference in terms of caregiver as well, and the caregiver burden, as well as people's own well-being.
And does it need to build up in the system, or can they notice it, like, you do a dose, can you notice it that day? How fast does it get across that brain barrier?
It's pretty quick. The body is designed to absorb this sort of nutrient, and the brain's pretty hungry for it.
Right.
And so it usually doesn't take very long, and people sometimes will notice a difference within a couple days.
Hmm. Where does choline come from?
In nature, there are a few unusual or maybe not so common or interesting foods that can naturally contain choline. Liver is one of the top sources, and I know people may get tired of hearing me talk about liver because it seems like whenever I talk about healthy foods, liver comes up, but it's a great source of choline. I know that people aren't necessarily eating it. As well, fish eggs seems sort of random, but they are excellent source of choline. Peanuts are also a source of choline. And those are actually, probably the main sources or the highest known foods for choline. There are other foods that don't necessarily contain choline, but they're important to still eat because it helps our body use choline more efficiently. More common foods like spinach, beets, wheat germ, for example, these foods help our body use and process choline more efficiently.
We're talking with Dr. Kate Rayan-Blue. You're listening to The Health Fit Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about how you can nourish your brain.